your voice in the morning.
So, who's just joined us? Welcome into it. 7:42 is where we're at right here on Breakfast Beat. Right now, though, we move along to our next feature. Now, regularly in the news, you know, we cover stories of abalone busts by local law enforcement officials. This week, abalone worth an estimated 4 million rand was found on a farm at Hekpoort, west of Johannesburg. And police say it was destined for Mozambique. Now, besides this incident, you would know there's been several other people that have been arrested in Cape Town for abalone poaching this week as well. So during a discussion amongst the news team this week, our journalists realized that they really don't know much about the abalone trade. And, you know, beside it being, you know, high value mollusk delicacy on the export market, you know, why else is the so-called trade thriving? But to find out a bit more and to help us understand this morning, we are joined online by Marcus Bergener, the program coordinator with an organization called Traffic. Marcus, good morning and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Hi. Yeah, thanks for letting me be on the show.
Only a pleasure. Now, first of all, you know, tell us a bit more in terms of your organization, Traffic. What exactly do you do?
Traffic is an international conservation organization. We've been around for more than 40 years and in South Africa for over 25 years. And we focus on the trade in wild plants and animals. So we look at species that are impacted by trade, both legal and illegal trade, where the trade's a threat to their conservation status.
All right. Now, let's get on to abalone and find out a bit more in terms of what is the rage about abalone? You know, why is there such a demand for it? And what exactly is it being used for?
You know, you mentioned it briefly in your introduction. It's a really high-value status food item in Asia, particularly in China and in Hong Kong. Mm. But it's also exported to Taiwan, to Singapore, to Japan. So it forms one of the four kind of key dried seafood high-status products in China and Hong Kong particularly, along with shark fin, with fish sunbatters and sea cucumber. So if you can imagine it, something similar to the most expensive caviar or the, you know, really expensive wine or champagne, something that you would serve to your guests. It's often served at wedding banquets or at important business meetings, and it's to show status. It's to demonstrate to whoever it is that you're trying to impress that you have money and that you have status. So it's not because it tastes so fantastic that it demands such high costs. It's really a status symbol.
Sure. Now, you know, here in South Africa, when we hear about these abalone busts, where exactly is the abalone being trafficked to?
Yeah, so it's coming from you know, quite a long stretch of our coast, and it's an endemic species. So in sub-Saharan Africa, it's the only abalone species that has any commercial value, and it only occurs in South Africa. And it's being trafficked, as I said, predominantly to, most of it goes into Hong Kong and then is distributed from Hong a lot to mainland China, but also to a few other Asian countries. But you know, you mentioned as well there's this recent bust with the abalone destined for Mozambique, and you think, well, why Mozambique? Is there demand in Mozambique? Well, no, there isn't. But there is a really complex, well-organized trade route to get this high-value resource out of South Africa. As you can imagine, the enforcement effort is really high in South Africa. People are aware of it. Law enforcement authorities know what abalone is. They're actively trying to stop the illegal traders. Once you get it beyond our borders, essentially you're safe. The enforcement authorities in other countries are not looking for abalone. They don't have legislation that covers abalone trade. So, you know, get it outside South Africa, and then you can, you know, if you need to process further or export from there, you can do so without being worried that you're going to get caught. So it goes to Mozambique, to Zambia, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Angola, DRC. It leaves our country through 8 to 10 different routes through other neighboring states. It's a very complex and well-organized business.
Now, of course, you know, we spoke in terms of, you know, Hong Kong, China, but just exactly how big is the global industry and who are these main players?
So, with the abalone trade and industry itself is complex. There are quite a few other countries that export abalone to Hong Kong. So Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Mexico, which is really the only country from sub-Saharan Africa. And we must remember as well that although we have this really high volume of illegal trade coming out of the country, we also have a very strong legal trade, although that is almost all entirely from farmed abalone in South Africa. So it, you know, provides a lot of jobs, it generates a lot of income, the legal trade, but it's almost entirely from abalone farming. And 95% or more of what comes out of our waters is poached. There's a tiny, now tiny, legal fishery that takes out less than 100 tons a year. Almost all of it is poached. And the trade into Hong Kong, you can imagine for the enforcement authorities there as well, it's a big challenge. Even if they're aware of our poaching predicament, they're getting imports from all over the world. And again, they don't have legislation that would allow them to stop poached abalone coming into their country.
Sure. Now, when we speak about, you know, cracking down on the poachers, you know, is our intelligence and our police operations strong enough to deal with a crackdown in the illegal industry?
You know, the fact that we, and honestly, it's been like this for probably more than 10 or 15 years, is on average an abalone bust almost every single day in this country. Day after day, so we just get so, it becomes normalized. So to some extent, yeah, we're having these successes. We're making arrests. We're seizing abalone. But the law enforcement authorities put a lot of effort into this, trying to understand the syndicates, not just, you know, take down those that are lower down in the poaching hierarchy, but trying to really kind of crack the syndicates. But it's incredibly difficult. It's this is an industry that's, the illegal trade is probably worth close to R1 billion or more every year. So there's a huge investment from the poaching syndicates to keep this business going. And you know, even if we're putting R20 or R40 million a year in law enforcement effort against this, It's massive, and you know, it's linked to money laundering, tax evasion, illegal drug trade. There are links to local gangs. It's very well organized crime. So it's incredibly difficult to stop. And really, the only way I think we're ever going to really address poaching significantly is if we change the socioeconomic landscape of the coastline where the poaching is happening.
Sure.
We need to create thousands of jobs. We need to create real alternative, you know, livelihoods, ways of generating income for people along that coast. Otherwise, it's not going to stop. Mm.
Now, Marcus, you know, you mentioned organized crime. So is abalone poaching, you know, has it been classified as an organized crime here in South Africa?
It is, yeah. So various ways to answer that. There is a draft policy which is driven by the South African Police Services on illegal trade and wildlife. And it's a national integrated strategy, which is it's almost a formal policy approach. And there's a number of species which are named in that as priority species. Elephants, rhinos, of course, cycads. And abalone is one of those. I think it's one of the only five species specifically named as a priority. And for many years, we've had the hawks. We've had organized crime working with fisheries, working with customs, in a coordinated approach to address this. Because there is a strong understanding that this is organized crime, and you know, organized crime has many other negative impacts, not just those directly linked to, like in this case, the abalone poaching.
So, you know, on a final point, what is the actual impact of abalone poaching in terms of our marine ecosystems and, of course, on the legal trade as well?
Yeah, so firstly, on ecosystem impact, fortunately, abalone seems to be more robust than we expected it to be. You know, 10 years ago, at this rate of poaching, we thought it would be almost at least commercially extinct in the wild, but it seems to fortunately be able to withstand high levels of poaching than we thought. So there still are definite refuges and areas where the abalone is still okay. There are abalone feeds on kelp, so you know if you have a big reduction in abalone, then you can get thriving and growing kelp areas, which will have a knock-on impact on the way in which that ecosystem develops. So there's no doubt that taking out one species almost entirely will have a knock-on impact on the ecosystem. And then in terms of, your other question was on...
in terms of the impact that it has on legal trade.
On the legal trade, yeah. It has a negative impact on the legal trade. So we've got this strong legal trade, firstly with the farmers, and it has a negative impact in Hong Kong because the quality of the dried abalone that's from the poaching operations is not nearly the same as that, and it's not as consistent as that coming out of the farming operations. But the buyers, the traders in Hong Kong don't know why this is the case most of the time, but it affects overall then the brand of South African abalone. So it pulls down now the prices that our legal operators can get, and of course for the legal fishery, it's had a terrible impact because the quota for the legal fishery has dropped significantly over the last 10 years, so it's essentially put many legal fishermen out of jobs. And it's taking away, there's this massive opportunity if we could turn it around. As I said, it's really high value resource, which if it was harvested legally, value-adding services in South Africa, a really thriving legal export trade from the fishery, would be so good for our coastal economy. But at the moment, it's mostly, most of that, 95% of that, is going to poaching operations.
All right, well, we'll leave it at that this morning. Mark, it's certainly been a very enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for unpacking the topic for us. We do appreciate your time this morning.
It's a pleasure. Have a good day.
You as well. And that was Program Coordinator Traffic there speaking to us. And that was Marcus Persinger speaking in terms of the illegal abalone trade. Very interesting indeed.